goes Lance in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, everybody, on a victory Labor Day Monday? How you doing? And joining us from the Bed Bath & Beyond parking lot, our guy, Zach Willis.
What's up, Bison Nation? Nothing better than a victory Monday. And I know these guys are in the weight room right now. They got practice later because Bison football labors on Labor Day.
That's spectacular. But nobody... You know, folks, I hope you understand. Zach's going through it right now. So you understand.
I, too, am laboring on Labor Day.
Oh, man. All right. The joys of monogamous relationship, man. It's just it's spectacular. Okay.
You take the good with the bad.
We do, 100%. And you and I are both very blessed in that regard. So we should
absolutely.
We should not complain that much. Okay. News. Good news is, A, no major injuries to speak of, at least not anything that we know about. That's always the biggest deal out of any game, but certainly out of the non-conference. You don't want guys to go down in games that count, of course, but not, you know, ultimately towards that Missouri Valley Championship. We got to talk about our boy, number 8 in your program, number 1 in your heart, Zeb Nolan.
What a game for my guy. First SEC start, and he's just dogging people. Four touchdowns in the first half. I was hyped.
And reports were that he was just absolutely trashing, going and talking all sorts of noise to the opponents, which is just classic Zeb. That kid has certainly a fire about him. I mean, there's no question about that.
I would expect nothing else from Mr. Nolan. I love it. I'm glad that he got to get out there and compete. And, you know, a little bit of redemption for him to show that, hey, I can play college ball. So it was good to see him go out there and play the way he did.
So just if you guys haven't taken a look, at kind of what he did, 13 out of 22 for 5.5 yards a carry, pretty conservative, but he did throw the 4 snacks. Zaquandre Wright had a massive day for South Carolina, 128 yards on the ground, and led them in receiving as well. He's a super, super impressive kid, for sure. And South Carolina, I mean, I know it was against the FCS opponent, but 46-0, you have to be pleased with at least round one of the Zeb Nolan at South Carolina experience.
Yeah, you know, you can say whatever you want about the opponent he played, but they took care of business. So what else can you complain about? 46-0, 4 touchdowns. He was effective, efficient, and got the job done. You put a W in the win column, that's all that anybody cares about.
No question about that. In other NDSU-related news, a massive, massive deal for Dave Richmond and that staff. Just so impressive, these two recruiting classes right in a row with Andrew Morgan, top 24/7 kid in the country, and, you know, choosing NDSU over Iowa. Now they get to Javis Miller, 3-star kid, the 25th-ranked basketball player in the state of Texas, top 300 player, combo guard, 6'4", long, really, really impressive, and chose North Dakota State over Washington State and SMU, among a number of other high mid major opportunities. But that Pac-12 offer is super, super impressive. And folks, we have a treat for you, and that is an exclusive interview with 3-star combo guard to Javis Miller right here. All right, here we go. So, your announcement video, your commitment video, had kind of a coming home feel to it.
Explain
to everybody, you know, because it's kind of a confusing ride, right? Like, you go look you up, and one thing says Anaheim, California. Then the other thing says Lubbock, Texas. And you're kind of trying to figure out what happened. How is North Dakota State home for you?
I was born in Georgia, but then I moved to North Dakota with my dad. And that's where I really started playing basketball and, like, taking it serious. So that's really why it's like a coming home thing.
And so your mom is the one who actually coached here at North Dakota State, correct?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
When did kind of your relationship start with NDSU as far as them reaching out to you as a serious recruit?
Towards the beginning of the summer. That was when it started.
Okay. And who were the main coaches that kind of kept in touch with you?
Coach Jones and Coach Richmond.
Okay. And what was kind of their fit for you? Like, how did they see your game kind of fitting into what they do? What did they like about you?
Just the ability to, like, be an impact on and off the ball. They saw me coming in as, like, being an impact player right away. Coming in and, like, in bigger situations, being able to have the ball in my hand or, like, get the ball to open, get other people open and get the ball in their hand.
So you wouldn't necessarily know this, but positionally, it's something that NDSU has struggled with for, like, a high school kid, the point guard position. You know, getting JUCO guys like Willie Guy and Vinny Shaheed, or moving a guy that they were playing at the four at Sam Griesel to that spot. Do you feel like, from their conversations with you, are you a lead guard? Like, do they want you to be the point man? Or is it more of a kind of a versatile thing and you'll sort of figure it out when you get on campus?
I feel like it's more like the combo guard type thing. Like, I'll be on the ball a lot and off the ball a lot. Like, playing the one and the two a lot.
Okay. Do you have a preference? You yourself personally?
What do you mean?
I mean, do you prefer being off the ball on offense, or do you like having the ball in your hands and creating?
Well, man, it doesn't really matter to me. I'm really fine with both of them.
Okay. And defensively, what do you like? How do you, because that's such a big deal with Coach Richmond, as I'm sure he's made clear to you. Where do you feel like you can fit in kind of with your length and your ability to be athletic?
Just being able to guard multiple positions, being able to switch on the big man down low for a certain amount of time if the switch is needed, and being able to guard the perimeter very well.
So just so we have, and I'm pretty sure we do, but just so we have kind of your list, I guess, accurate on 24/7 Sports, where else did you have offers to play basketball?
Washington State, Loyola Marymount, University of San Diego, SMU, and Pepperdine.
Washington State, I think, is going to be, you know, kind of the one that sticks out to Bison fans. Andrew Morgan, who's on this year's team, had the opportunity to play at Iowa. They were obviously ranked in the top 10 last year. And Washington State might not have had that level of success, but it's still an opportunity to play basketball in the Pac-12. I think NDSU fans would be very interested to know, like, what was it about Fargo? Was it about Coach Richmond? Was it about the staff? Like, why is this the fit for you?
From the very start, they really made it about family. Like, the first couple months, they weren't really worried about the basketball aspect of things. They were just getting to know me better, me, myself, and my family. And that really stuck and meant a lot to me.
Did you have a chance to get up here on campus at all?
To where?
To Fargo.
Yes, sir. That's where I was at this weekend.
Okay. And, were you there with other student athletes?
I was, yes, sir.
Get a chance to meet any of the current players?
I did. I met the whole team. Pretty good guys. Fun to hang around with. Overall, it was pretty cool. Good experience.
When they did kind of get into basketball talk, did they do they sort of break down with you some of the guys, some of the younger guys that you'd be playing with during your career and how you might work with them? Or how did sort of, I guess, in your recruitment, how did the transition from, you know, talking about family and stuff like that? Because I'm sure at some point, too, you wanted to have the basketball conversation. How did that go?
Could you repeat that? I don't really understand that question.
Sure. I just, you know, you mentioned like the right away, their recruitment of you was about family. And at some point, I'm sure that either you or them did want to talk about basketball. So did they kind of talk about some of the younger guys on the current team that you might have a chance to play with, guys they were also recruiting? When the conversation did turn to basketball, what was that like? What did you guys talk about, and how did you see yourself as a fit?
We didn't really talk about, like, the guys that I would be playing with. When the basketball topic did come up, they were just talking about what they saw me fitting when I came on campus next year and, like, the role that I would have for the team. And that was pretty much it.
Okay, that's fair. What did you like about Fargo? What did you like about campus? And what did you like about, facilities, locker room, training facilities, academic advancement, that kind of thing?
The campus is really beautiful. A lot of the stuff is in walking distance. I really like that. Just the atmosphere around, like, all the people that I saw around the campus were pretty cool. Everybody was nice, like, when I met them. Yeah, that was pretty much a lot that had to do with it.
Awesome. As far as, like, your decision-making timeline, it looks pretty, you know, like, at least to the outside person, it looks like this official visit this past weekend kind of sealed the deal for you. Do you agree, or was it just kind of convenient timing?
No, sir. This weekend sealed the deal for it.
And in what way did that happen? Like, what was it about this official visit where you were like, yep, I need to be a Bison, 100%, we're doing this?
Just being around, like, the coach's family and stuff like that was pretty cool. And being around the guy, they really showed me, like, what the Bison family was really about. And, like, that what coach was telling me just wasn't all talk.
All right. How important was it to get this kind of out of the way so you could play your last season of high school ball without having to worry about it?
It was very important because now I know that I know the school I'm going to, and I don't really have to worry about, like, looking good for other schools and stuff like that.
Sure. And do you consider your recruitment 100% closed? Like, if other schools are calling you, do you have kind of a message for them?
Yes, sir. I am 100% closed.
All right. Thank you so much to Javis. Appreciate your time, and certainly we'll look forward to meeting you when you get up to Fargo.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. We want to thank to Javis certainly for his time, making himself available to us and getting his message and his reasoning for choosing North Dakota State out to the people. That was awesome. And speaking of the people, boy, Zach, was it good to see them this weekend.
Oh, just a little bit of normalcy. It was so great to get out there, bring some food and say hi to everybody, shake some hands, kiss some babies. It was great to see everybody.
It was. The food was exceptional. The bus worked. It was a little bit of a parking nightmare right away, but ultimately, yep, you know, we were able to make the plays required. Zach with a masterful job of backing that bad boy in there. Once I explained I used to sell cars. It was my first job out of college, and I was trying to guide him in, and you kind of forget that not everybody understands some of the same things you do. So my giant swinging arms and my finger were not exactly something that was universally understood, but we got the job done. We got in there. We got some phenomenal pulled pork wings and mac and cheese to the people, and the people appreciated it, and we certainly appreciated the people. All right, Albany Review. You were certainly closer than I was.
Yep.
I think, you know, we're a couple plays here and there away. The JP punt return, the Christian Watson dropped 65-ish yard touchdown. But ultimately, you know, you were right. So you get to kind of get your flowers here, because This was a clunkier game than I was anticipating. And Albany, I think, showed to be maybe a bit bigger problem than I thought they'd be, I guess, than Vegas thought they would be, although we are about a Tamarick Williams shoelace away from that not being the case. Quincy gave himself and the offense a B-. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I'd say that's probably pretty spot on. Just fairly initial reactions or some protection stuff we got to clean up. And then, like you said, just first game jitters, you know, seeing a live ball in the Fargo Dome during game speed. It's just stuff guys got to get out of the way. And I talked to him about this, and Cordell and Nash talked to these guys. And, you know, I thought it was good that we played an opponent like Albany where you get to sharpen the skills a little bit. It's not just an automatic cupcake because those Great Danes are a good squad. So, I mean, it's a good win. But like you said, just got some stuff we got to shore up a little. The first game miscues, but everything will come together, and I liked what I saw on Saturday.
Yeah, I think, you know, to get to sharpen the knives a little bit, like I think the order of operations here, because we'll get to this later on in the week, we're going to try and provide some other fun insights for you guys just because, folks, Valparaiso ain't good.
Correct.
And, like, I get it. You know, you're supposed to build up the opponent and not – folks, they lost to NAIA Indiana Wesleyan 28-10. They didn't just lose. I mean, it wasn't like this Washington-Montana upset where Montana got through that one by the skin of their teeth, and all credit to Montana, number two ranked team in the country right now. Indiana Wesleyan gave Valparaiso the work. It was like Eastern Tennessee State and what they did to Vanderbilt. It was not a good weekend to be a Division I football team that starts with a V. It just wasn't.
I like that. And I mean, we would be doing a disservice to the fans if we tried to talk about, you know, Valparaiso.
Like matchups and stuff like that. So, right. So, like, yeah. I think that it's important that they got the grind game first, you know, and had to, like, had to really figure out where they have maybe potential deficiencies, what they need to shore up, what they can be more clean on. Because we spoke very briefly to Tyler Roll after the game, and he was like, we're an inch or two away here and there, you know, just like little things that need to be shored up. And look, I get it too, the other way, you know, you can hear that song and dance all season, but I tend to believe him.
Yeah, I do too. And it was just evident in some little stuff, you know, just stuff I know about from being in the program in the last 3 years, like talking to these guys, this little communication stuff. And then, you know, Christian's drop and even Babbo's on the sideline. That's the ball he comes down with 9 times out of 10. So it's just that stuff that, like you said, it's a couple inches away. Whereas I think it might have been a few more couple inches this spring when he said the same thing.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. On the offensive side of the ball, you're a young man who told me that, man, I've heard about this 7 or 8 offensive line rotation my entire career. And then they did it. It actually happened. Your thoughts on kind of the musical chairs there, a little Cordell at guard action, some other moving around. I think, you know, and we're waiting, I think it might have had a little bit to do with the media rights situation. And I know folks were frustrated. ESPN, ESPN3 did not get to the game. ESPN honestly didn't even know where the feed was coming from. They still thought it was going to be with Valley News Live, which is unfortunate because it is not. It was with WDAY, obviously. So that's the answer to the missing question, folks, of, you know, where was the game the first quarters? ESPN literally didn't know where the feed was coming from, which is unfortunate. But anyway, the situation with that is I don't know the snap counts. I usually do by this point because Pro Football Focus has provided me with that information, but I don't have them right now. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think other than maybe what you might call garbage time, the one guy that just didn't come out was Jalen Sundell at center, I believe, unless I didn't notice something.
I think Jalen and Cody Malk might have been the only two that stayed in the entire time.
Okay, so we
did. I may be incorrect, but I think Cody played the entire game too.
Okay, well, that's fair. Other than that, though, what did you think of the offensive line rotation?
I like that they're rotating, and, you know, it keeps guys fresh, but I just thought it happened a little too early. Like you said, there was some clunky stuff going on in that first quarter, and it just looked kind of disorganized. And I don't think switching out guards and moving guys' positions helped that. You know, Cordell's a hell of a player, and he'll play wherever you want him to, but it's not easy going from tackle one drive to guard to the other. It's a completely different mentality you play with just by moving 3 feet to your left. So, you know, I was kind of frustrated with it. I thought guys were trying to communicate and get some cohesiveness going, and it just couldn't happen because people were being rotated that early.
Christian Watson, a young man, potentially not of this earth. He is so damn impressive athletically. You know, I wouldn't even say made the joke, but I just made the observation, like, this kid hawked his own teammate, who, by the way, is not going to be a professional athlete, is a professional athlete.
Dom Gannella is not a slow person.
Yeah. And absolutely runs down his own guy and then proceeds to get in front of him and throw just an unbelievable block. But, you know, we also saw the bad, if you will, with Christian Watson, and that is the young man has been credited with 11 drops over his career, including kind of a troublesome 7 drops in the 2020 spring season, and we saw a horrific one on what should have probably been a touchdown, a really good job from Quincy Patterson putting the ball there. He's another guy, man, where you talk about inches away, because he is so close to having just the absolute complete and total package. But occasionally you do get the concentration drops.
Right. And it's been really cool to see Christian's evolution and where he's coming to as leader. I don't know if people picked up on this, but when he saw Dom spring it, he's looking around for multiple people to block. So he blocked the first one that was coming in from the inside part of the field, and then was fast enough to pick his speed back up and block the safety coming across. You know, like you said, or Dawson Weber accredited to him in the post game, or maybe it was Quincy, but just Bison pride. I mean, that's what it is. It's laying it all out there on the field for the guy next to you. And, you know, the drops thing, I think it could be just kind of one of those, either a jitter thing or he's just kind of pressing because he knows it's kind of an issue that he's had before. Like you said, it's more of a concentration drop thing where you're trying too hard to catch the ball.
For sure.
I'm not worried about it. And Christian's the type of dude that'll get that stuff figured out. And hopefully it happens soon because, I mean, you can put a lot of points on the board if Christian Watson's at the top of his game.
Yeah, and I think that's something that you eventually shake loose from. I know, like, as a Packers guy, Jordy Nelson had a heck of a time hanging on to the football early in his career. Davante Adams, people wanted, after year two, people legitimately thought Davante Adams needed to be released and just was a bust and wasn't going to make it because he struggled so mightily catching the football. Ultimately, it's just a thing, like, mentally, I think, too, it's kind of like having the yips in golf. Like, once you're over it, you're over it, but you got to get over it, and I think his ability to get open, I thought he was a lot more refined in his routes, like that comebacker that Quincy kind of one-hopped to him, but he had a couple other intermediate routes where he was able to make some good catches, but also create some good separation. And yes, it's easier for freak athletes to create separation, but I also, like I said, I think he's a little bit more detailed in his work, and I'm really impressed with where he's at because at his size, you don't really need to be detailed in your work. I mean, at the FCS level, he can just run past people if he wants to. And I'm impressed that he seems to be taking to the coaching and continues to evolve, not only, as you said, as a leader, but I think I am noticing it as a football player too. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, I credit a lot of that to Coach Noah Pauly. He's a great coach and he does great stuff in that room. And like you said, it's, you know, Christian's the dude, and he has been for a long time on campus, so it says a lot about him to take to that coaching and really refine that skill. Because especially at receiver, I mean, that's where people go from good to great, is the little stuff and running routes and the execution of all that. So I'm excited to see what Christian Watson might evolve into, even at the end of this season.
Characterized again the offense as clunky, but you know, I think too, Quincy Patterson is largely right, and something he said in the post-game press conference was, once we get to 15 points, we feel pretty good, you know, because Code Green just right now looks like a unit that's not going to give up more than 14 points in a week. And right. So that's, I think that has merit. That statement has some merit, man. You talk about bias and pride, right? And I think rightfully so, we singled out Christian Watson, but for a young kid, holy crap, does Courtney Eubanks get it? I mean, that play at the end of the half, I'm so angry with the officials because they blew that call. And not only is it not okay to blow calls, especially when you have the ability to just go to the replay.
Right.
It's so unacceptable to blow that call and rob that kid of that moment because – I mean, I think that could have been SportsCenter top 10 if it counts. Like, I think – That was just such an incredible football play. And by the way, other than one deep comeback I think he got beat for, I thought he played a heck of a football game just overall.
Absolutely. And it's just one of those things where, I mean, it does go into, and people are going to get tired of me saying this throughout the season, but it is the Bison pride of, you know, it's the last play before half. There's 4 seconds left. Like, but that kid's trying to keep points off the board because he knows every score matters. And it's just too bad he got robbed of that because, like you said, that is an all-time play by Mr. Eubanks.
It was crazy. Your overall take on the defense and kind of where they were at. I was impressed, man. I thought the number one thing that needed to get shored up really looked shored up through a week, you know, and that was not getting pushed around up front when you're a bit undersized. They absolutely dominated the line of scrimmage, 23 yards rushing for the Great Danes, 23.
Yeah, when you watch those guys, it was just like they got some juice today. I mean, even rushing the passer, they were getting after those boys up front. So that was good to see. The best thing that I enjoyed was one of the big things you guys talked about is playing complementary football. So when the defense needs to be off the field, offense sustains a long drive. And when – you know, offense needs to get back out there, three and outs all game. So I really like that each side of the football was picking each other up, and it looked like a Code Green, you know, defense that we expect. I think the only thing is just a little bit of first week stuff that I'll keep mentioning, but some tackling issues, I think that'll come together. But I was very, very happy with the performance, especially from the Alley Cats up front.
For sure. How about the back end? We talked about the cornerback rotation. Big play from Destin Talbert. Young man, what in God's green earth are you doing wearing a hooded sweatshirt? 72 degrees. Outrageous. I respect the tribute to James Jones, but Lord have mercy. Other than that.
All about drip, brother.
Oh, my God in heaven. Anyway, Destin makes a big play. JP starts the game, obviously. And we get some Jerod Vines. I even think we got some Jerod Vines. I feel so naked without my Pro Football Focus premium stats because that was like hours of work that I had to put in that now right. Now somebody else puts in. And now I don't have the time to put it in because I got kids. And I got a million other things going on.
Yep.
But I wish I had it back. It would be nice. But I thought we did see Jerod Vines inside at nickel, which kind of answers that question a little bit. We did see the three safety nickel. We saw Tut play nickel with Dom Jones and Dawson Weber behind him. I thought the defensive backs had a really nice day. Sure, they got beat occasionally. And other than the Courtney Eubanks play, the play to end the half was an abomination. I mean, that just cannot happen. But what did you think of the cornerback rotation? And here's my take. I don't think anything changed. Like, I understand that Destin made probably the biggest play of the day for the cornerback group, but the quarterback kind of just led him there with the foot. You have to make the play, but it was like some fantastic read or some super athletic play. Like, he made the play that was presented to him, and that's a big deal because that's something they didn't do in the spring.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm not bumping Destin Talbert up the depth chart or up what I think of that cornerback hierarchy because of that play.
I would agree with you. And the biggest thing I like to see was It looked like those dudes were healthy. They were having fun and they were competing. You know, even Tut coming down to make the play on that outside run in the alley and that stands up and celebrates and everybody's with him. It was just good to see a little bit of juice out of the Wolfpack. It looked like they were competing, having fun. I think the biggest thing from the spring is that everybody's healthy. So, you know, like you said, there's stuff that needs to be cleaned up with coverage and stuff, but just the building blocks of those guys looked excited to play football again. And that excites me about that room.
Let's chat real briefly about a guy that you probably practiced against quite a bit, and that is young Eli Mostart, who had himself a day on Saturday.
The guy's special. We kind of knew that he had some juice, and I feel like he's just one of those gamers. You know, you put him out on the field on Saturday, and you can really see what he can do. It's very cool to see, especially the fact that he's young, a young D lineman going in there and putting up numbers like he is and balling out like he is. It was very cool to see.
I've got a new Jaden Price take, and this will be a good one. He's too important as a punt returner to play at corner. That's how I've figured it out now.
You know, he is a weapon on special teams, like, man.
Oh, my God. That one that got called back was ridiculous.
He's an animal. I don't even know how to describe it. He looks like he's a little jitterbug out there. He can't be tackled, and dude just wants to compete, and it was cool to see him be able to cut it loose and obviously score on that one. But, I mean, he had another 50-yard return, like you said, that got called back. But guy was balling out on Saturday.
He's impressive. I wonder, maybe don't move him to safety. What? Maybe get let Coach Pauly sink his teeth into him. Get him the ball in space.
Ooh, I like what you're thinking there. And we might get a call that says, hell no, shortly.
Please. Like, nobody cares about either of your ideas. I just want you to know that. Hey, they did do the play Jackson Hanke and Mason Hofstad at the same time thing, though. We suggested that.
Sure did. We got that right, and it worked awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Wellness check quick on special teams before I let you go. How did you feel about the punting situation, the long snapping situation? And then I kind of asked Coach Entz before, after the game, and he basically just said, like, we wanted to know kind of where the end of Riney's range was, and you're in a weird spot there. I mean, it's 4th and 10. You go for it. They get the ball right there. You punt it. Right. Chances are it goes into the end zone. What the hell's the difference? But
a little bit of no man's land.
Right, 100%. So give me a wellness check on special teams.
You know, young man, Mr. Florentine, looked great. I love the operation. Everything was snapping well. I thought Caden Steindorf was serviceable. Obviously, we've been spoiled with punters over the last few years.
Yes.
With Ben LeCompte and Garrett Wagner, some pretty special dudes there at that spot. But, you know, I've seen what Caden can do. And I think, you know, first start, everybody's going through that stuff. But I thought it looked good. Operation looked good. And it eased my nerves a little bit, to be honest with you.
All right. I agree. You know, he kind of had the one whiff from the punter, but I was largely impressed, for sure. I mean, they won a national championship throwing a running back at punter in Matt Voigtlander. So they can kind of get through it. But you're right. We've been absolutely spoiled. All right, folks. We've got a ton of awesome stuff coming up for you later on in the week. We want to thank Big Deck Barbecue, our sponsor. We want to thank Zach for making time. We want to thank Tejavis Miller for making time as well. We've got an awesome episode of the Big Deck Tailgate Show on deck for you guys with some unbelievable burnt ends that we are so excited for you to see and potentially cook. We'll catch you later in the week.